This is a little bit different episode of the CarrotCast, and I am excited about it for a few reasons. But one thing before I introduce Mike Blankenship, our guest here, Mike actually is our latest intern here at Carrot, and there's a very specific reason I'm having Mike come on this CarrotCast, and you guys are going to find out very, very shortly. But one thing, guys, I mean, one of our core values here at Carrot is transparency. And I know I want to make sure that I'm sharing my own journey as an entrepreneur so people can learn from my mistakes and learn from things that I'm doing and that I'm doing right and that I'm doing wrong. And yesterday, being honest, was kind of one of those down days as an entrepreneur. And I'm sure you guys have seen that chart, that graph that went viral on Facebook that shows the day in the life of an entrepreneur. And it's this up and down kind of squiggle throughout the day with successes and setbacks. And honestly, yesterday was more of a mental setback than a real setback. And I think we all have those in life. We all have those as an entrepreneur. It's not whether we're going to have them. It's how we respond to them. And the first half of the day, I was in a grumpy mood, which is not me. And it was all of my own doing. I had way too much booked out in my schedule. Every minute was spoken for. I felt I was failing on some things. I was kind of a little bit stressed out. And I don't really usually get that way. But the second half of the day, and the reason I'm saying this, the second half of the day energized me. And that energy has led into today, my content day. And I really feel it's going to lead in through this weekend. And I really relearned another good lesson yesterday. And it's to make sure that you schedule in things that are within your unique ability. I talk about unique ability on this episode with Mike and several other mental mindset shifts that us as entrepreneurs need to make in order to be insanely happy and insanely successful at what we do. But that mental mindset shift for me was at the end of the day, I had interviews. We were interviewing new people on our team. I love talking to great people. I love collecting people, as I'm going to talk about with Mike in this episode. And I love just amplifying people. And those three calls that those prospects that are looking to join Carrot energized me. And that reminded me why I'm doing what I'm doing. So what in your day right now do you need to fit into your day that energizes you? What do you need to do that fits in that is your unique ability, something you're great at that you love to do that energizes, that gives you more energy when you're done? Do that. Fit it into your schedule now. Make sure that when you have a down day, your next day is mainly unique ability. So I have to fire you back up about why you do what you do. All right. So this episode, once again, is a little bit different. It's a little bit longer, but I think you're going to really enjoy it. And there could be several nuggets that can honestly change your life if you're in the mindset or in the time of your life when this is going to speak to you. So I'm going to welcome in Mike Blankenship, our latest intern here at Carrot. I'm going to introduce you to Mike, and he has some questions for me. He has some questions for me as a newer entrepreneur, mindset stuff, how to blast through stuff, how to find passion and purpose and mission, and how did I go do all that, and what is my story? Without further ado, let's get it going. Hey, morning, everyone. This is Trevor with Carrot, and I've got a really, really cool CarrotCast coming at you guys today. And we've got our newest team member on the line today. He's actually an intern right now and in his second week or so, but he's been doing some work for us for a little while on the content side. I'm just really excited to bring on some of our team members over this next year in the CarrotCast, because a lot of times you guys get to hear and get to see me, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are doing some amazing things. We want to bring them, as many of them as possible, out from behind the scenes and have you guys meet them, because they've got amazing talents, amazing skills, amazing perspectives. And I just want you guys to see what's going on here at Carrot. So on today's, we've got Mike Blankenship, and Mike is actually a senior in college right now, but not for too long. You guys will get to meet him here in a second. He graduates in just a few months, and we're lucky enough to have him on the content team. And, so it's really fitting, of course, that he's on a podcast since he's on the content team. And a couple of things I really, really enjoy about Mike, and then we'll dive into the convo, is he came in like day one into our Slack channel and was like already making suggestions on ways we can improve things. And he's a good content person himself. So I wanted to bring him on and just have a good conversation and just kind of talk about success, kind of talk about certain things that him as a person who's just graduating college or just getting going in the business side of things, what they can do, you know, what he can do, or people like him or people listening to this call can do to kind of cut through some of that learning curve. So, Mike, welcome on the CarrotCast, man, the very first one, dude.
I know. I'm super excited to be on. This is just cool. It's my like my first official podcast I get to be on. So it's just really cool.
Yeah, man. So you've got your own podcast that you started, which is cool. Kind of taking, you're taking action and getting going like that. But
yeah,
kind of give people some perspective for where you are or where you are in life right now. And let them know kind of how your journey came to Carrot. So once again, you're an intern now. And then our hope is that it turns into a full-time position here as long as it's a fit for everyone.
Yeah.
But kind of where are you at right now in life?
Yeah, well, I actually think we have a super interesting story about how our relationship came to be and how this stuff with Carrot. So to give you an idea, though, all the listeners, I always thought I was going to do like full-time ministry at a church. And I grew up in a Christian household, and so I always thought like that was going to be my thing, was doing full-time ministry. And so I was pursuing that, and I was following that. And then in high school, I followed that, and I actually interned. I'm 23 right now, so I've been out of high school for about 4 or 5 years. I actually followed that dream for about the last 3 years and was at this church. And I just sort of found out, like, I don't think this is for me. I don't think that this is something I want to do. It was really high stress. And I just started to really wrestle with, like, is that something I want to do? Although I always knew, like, because the church I was a part of was like a new church plant. So I always knew I wanted to do something that was like sort of entrepreneurial. I started by interning at the biggest church in town, which, you know, in Klamath Falls, that's like 400 people. but regardless, I started interning there, and I just had this, I struggled to find a place that I could actually make an impact. And that was really hard for me to be able to, cause I always, like, I'm all about making an impact, you know, and I want to be able to make a difference where I'm at. And there, it didn't really feel like I could. So I ended up going to this new church plant and investing there. And that was a place I was able to make an impact, and that's why I stayed for as long as I did, about 3 years. And at the end of, December of 2016, I was stepping away from that. My wife got pregnant, so I was sort of going through all these changes. I had a friend die that year. It was like the first serious death in my life, which sort of shook my faith a little bit, made me wonder about, should I be in full-time ministry? Should I do these things and pursue this, or is there a different direction I need to pursue? So at the end of December, I stepped down from the church and started examining. You know, it's easy to like let go of one direction, but it's a whole nother thing to find a new direction, you know? So that was something I was really struggling through in the month of December.
Yeah.
And so I left the church, and I started looking for an outlet for my creative passion. I've always loved writing. I've always loved like content. So I actually messaged out I messaged to a guy I knew who does content, and said, "Hey, can I write for you?" Or actually, I didn't even ask him if I could write for him. I just asked him, like, I just wanted to know what he did, actually. I just was like, "Hey, man, can we meet and you can tell me about what you do, because I'm kind of looking for a new direction." So I was pursuing that at the time. I was also pursuing at OIT, the college I go to. I was also pursuing a job in their journalism department. And so I was kind of looking at these opportunities. And then I met with the copywriter, and he actually offered me a job. And then, you know, we kind of met through him, I'm still to this day, to be honest with you, Trevor, I don't know why you friended me on Facebook. I'm not sure. I still don't know how you heard about me. So I'd be interested in hearing about that. But, but anyways, Trevor friended me on Facebook, and I knew of Trevor cause I had ghostwritten for Trevor through this copywriter guy I'm working for. And then, so I knew about Trevor when he friended me. So I just messaged him. I was like, "Hey dude, can we give me a job?" No, I didn't say it quite so straightforward, but I just said, "Hey man, I like what you're doing. I'm a ghostwriter." And it sounds like I stepped in at the exact time that you needed content person, yep. which is just, it's so funny how that happens. You know, that seems to happen so often.
And so people know too, so that content guy he's talking about is actually Aaron Orndorff, who we've had on an episode of the CarrotCast, and Aaron helps us with some content strategy. He helps us with writing some content. And that's one of the things that we're never going to be shy about sharing what we do behind the scenes here. And not all of the articles that we've written in the past 6 months that have my name on them, I actually wrote. The ones, you know, previous to that, they were for the most part written by me, but I'm a part of the strategy on all of them, but then making sure we've got great people to then push them forward and make it happen. And that's where Mike came in. So yeah, I didn't even know it, but you had already written for us. And I had no clue.
Right.
So to kind of answer your question about why I friended you up, dude, one thing that's kind of a philosophy of mine, I don't really buy fancy things, or like, I'm not a collector of any particular anything, but what I am a collector of is people. And I just really, really love finding great people and people that seem like they're either doing amazing things or they have potential. And I saw the same thing with Aaron when him and I met over a year ago. I'm like, he's a college, teaching at college, doing this great content, barely has a business that's really at that time wasn't really making much revenue, but I saw a lot of potential in him. And of course now he's blown up. And same thing. I can keep on going down the line with people here at Care or just people in my life. And that was it, man. I saw that as an opportunity. I saw him. He shared an article that you had written. I'm like, let's check this out. I'm like, you know, I saw you went to OIT and you're a college kid. And I'm like, well, sweet. He's a younger guy and goes to the college that I went to. And it looks like him and Aaron know each other. And just reading through some of the comments, I saw that you guys are probably working together. And I'm like, let's connect, man. Cause I knew I was going to be down in Klamath Falls a couple weeks after that. So that's one thing I'm always, always, always doing.
That's cool, man.
Always looking out for people, trying to collect people, even if it just means to a good relationship and not working together. So,
yeah. And that's probably for you. That's probably even to the degree that it's like, even if you're not necessarily looking for someone to hire, mm-hmm. it's probably something you keep an eye out for all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if you see, I mean, you collect people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of an all the time thing. So that's cool.
That's cool. So wrap up kind of the end of that story there. Once again, we connected through Aaron Magic. Of course you're here now, but, so why did you decide to take an internship with us? Then I know you've got some questions. I really want to have a great conversation with you, but
that's a good question, dude. Cause actually at the time that this was going on, I have the thing that I do for Aaron, which mm-hmm. is still like, I mean, I could, once I'm done, cause for those who don't know, I'm stopping school after this term and also I work at a coffee shop. So I'm going to quit those two things and that's going to free up a lot of my time. So mm-hmm. one of the big questions I've been asking myself is, you know, what am I going to do with that time? And working for Aaron, was one of the opportunities I could go and I could do freelance writing. I could probably find some more clients and write for them. So that was one option. And then I had another option with, a guy named Cody who I just sort of met in this, a sort of a similarly funny way, just kind of through small talk and then him throwing ideas at me. And basically he wanted me to come on board and start this Facebook ads business with him. So that was another opportunity I had at the time. And so those were like two, and then this thing with Carrot came along. And so I had this difficult weighing and trying to decide like what's going to be best, which direction should I pursue? Cause I'm the, I'm the kind of guy that'll try and pursue all three, you know, like I don't want to throw any of those out the window, you know, and just pursue one. Cause what if like I pursue one and then that one falls through and then I'm stuck and I left the other two people hanging. So like, I'm the kind of person who like, I got to pursue all three. And, I did that for the last, I don't know, probably a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And, I just like, actually this is like 3 days ago, I just went to the Facebook ads guy and told him I wasn't going to have time for it. And that was really for me, the reason that I did that, cause actually like I've been talking to that guy and it seemed like there could be a decent amount of money in it, you know? And so it wasn't because there wouldn't be money in it. it was because every time I thought about like doing Facebook ads, I just would ask myself, in five years down the road, do I want to say to people, oh yeah, I do Facebook ads? And I didn't. I don't know what it is about that. I just didn't want to. I guess I just didn't want that to be my thing, you know. And it's just not something I'm passionate about. So I just came to terms with that and said, yeah, I don't think that this is for me. Mm-hmm. So then I had the two left with Aaron and then Carrot, and I'm still sort of in a position right now where trying to decide between the two, or at least how to balance the two. Carrot right now is like easily my first option. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the podcast.
And then you go on Aaron's podcast. He doesn't have one. You go on his. Yeah, I swear, Aaron's is my number one. I swear, it's not. No, I'm messing with you.
Aaron is my first option. Yeah, right, exactly. So, Carrot though, like, and just being honest with you, what I like about Carrot is, I like that you guys. From what I can tell, it seems like you guys really want to not only give like you don't just tell people to do something. You don't tell your employees, hey, can you get this done? But you give them the authority and the responsibility with that comes with that task, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm really big on is I don't like when people, you know, come to me and say, hey, get this done in exactly this way and this. And if you alter from my path even a little bit, you're in trouble, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas you guys come and you kind of say, hey, get this done, and whatever way you get that done, at least this is the sense I've gotten so far, Trevor, yeah. Whatever way you get that done is okay. And just use your creative brain juices and flex your muscles a little bit and have fun with it, you know? Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, you guys are, and it comes back to this question for me, what it came down to is like in 10 years, do I want to be working as a ghostwriter, you know? And I know that the ghostwriting could probably evolve into like more direct stuff where I'm actually writing under my own name. Yeah. But and so there was like, do I want to be a ghostwriter in 10 years, or would I like to be working at content strategy at Carrot in 10 years, you mm-hmm. know? And right now where I'm at, I think that the latter is the most appealing to me, being mm-hmm. able to say, yeah, I'm a content strategist at Carrot. Like that's just, and I like the idea too of the, I think the downside for me to freelance writing is that you have so many, and I've already experienced this with the ghostwriting because Aaron writes for a lot of different companies, as you probably know, mm-hmm. but your passions get so split up and mm-hmm. so, yeah, just like, and you don't have any one direction like, oh, I'm just going to like for Carrot. It's like, I'm going to do real estate, you know? But with when you ghostwrite or freelance write, man, you're writing about a ton of different things. And so I like the idea of having a few different things you write about and knowing those really, really, really well.
Yep.
And then just being sort of the expert in that area. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So yeah, that's where I've come to with Carrot, and I, you know, where I'm at right now, I think you know this, but I'm hoping it turns into something full time. And yeah, I think we're having a really good time with it.
Sweet, man. And I kind of want to unpack something that you mentioned there. Cause you mentioned that one of the things that kind of attracted you is just in this past week and a half to 2 weeks working with us, me giving you guys kind of the authority, and leeway to go do what you need to do. And that's something, honestly, dude, that's not something that came natural to me, and still I'm working on it. It's not something I'm going to say that I've solved. And I really do enjoy it when we have team members that challenge me on that, because as an entrepreneur who at one time was a solo entrepreneur and you do everything, you know, you're like doing everything. And then you bring on your first person, which I've talked about this in the Carrot Cast. You bring on your first person, then your next person. For me, there was always this struggle with how do I let things go? And at a certain point, probably a year and a half ago, I realized that there's no way I was going to attract A players, and there's no way I was going to grow this organization and this platform that we have to deliver our message in a way unless I attracted A players, cast a vision, but allowed them to march forward with helping us achieve that vision the best way that they saw fit, not necessarily the way that I saw fit. And that's, it's like, it's still a struggle. Even that conversation we had in Slack yesterday, you know, it was a perfect opportunity for where in the past I probably would have jumped in and gave my answer, you know, and, yeah. And still even in that moment, like, I think I typed up half of my answer, then I deleted it. I'm like, right, I'm going to step back and I have to do that. And I need to let them kind of figure it out. And then, yeah. And then of course you asked that question. You said, well, I think the issue here is just that, you know, the bottlenecks are us being able to make the decision. Like, awesome, you guys do it. But here's my goal. Like, as long as we march toward this goal, you guys do whatever the heck you guys need to do to nail that. And I trust you guys that you will. So it's really cool you brought that up, because like I said, that is a struggle of mine, and I continue to need to be challenged. So I appreciate you on that.
Yeah, that's definitely something I struggle with too, is like, I mean, I think that's like a really, I think that'll ring true for most entrepreneurs, you know, mm-hmm. because as an entrepreneur, you like to start new things and you want it to be perfect, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times it's hard to trust anyone other than yourself, with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, so last week I was at OIT doing a talk there. You and Brendan from the team were there, and we chatted after that, and that's kind of how this podcast came to be. And you had some stuff like, man, some of the stuff is really good podcast stuff. And you had some questions too. And I know you shot over some questions that we have some little talking points on, but dude, I'd love to dive into any of this, and I'm going to kind of toss over to you now and have you kind of start and toss some of these questions at me, and we'll just have a good conversation back and forth. And I really think that people are going to get some nuggets out of this that could change the game for them. I mean, it may not change anything for them, but it could completely change the game for them if one of these nuggets is going to hit them where they are today. So take it away, dude. What do you want to chat about?
Yeah. So, I'm excited too. I think that, I have a feeling that your answers to these are going to be awesome. Not to, set you up and say like, man, you got to have some killer answers, but, just knowing you, I think it's going to be interesting. So I just wanted to start with, your sort of generally, first tell me, how long has Carrot been going? Is it 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. So last year, 2016, was our third full year officially. The idea started way back. I mean, the idea probably started 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
In a previous company of mine. And it was this little side project. It was the biggest pain in the butt. It didn't make money. It lost money. It was something I created just to serve the people. You know, it's like, hey, there were no good websites out there for investors, and let's just make a quick WordPress theme and just give it to you and just pay us $10 a month in hosting, which is the worst idea ever. But the business, we turned it into a business, at the start of 2014.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so over that whole, I mean, even back to like when it was just an idea, that 5 years of time, just between then and now, in the whole entrepreneur, timeline of this company growing and now becoming pretty successful, what have been like the 2 or 3 biggest setbacks that mm-hmm. you had? And how did you deal with those?
Dude, it's good questions. I mean, there's been, from the outside, I think people look at any success story, you know, as like, it was always this straight climb up, right?
And that's kind of like, I want to bring that reality out, you know, it's not just this straight climb up.
It's not at all. It's like the stock market ticker, you know, where you hope that the trend is upward over the long term, but there's definitely peaks and valleys and stuff. And that's how we've gone. So dude, the two biggest setbacks, I don't think that there's been like an event that hit us and we're like, man, this thing was this monstrous financial setback or this monstrous morale setback or something like that. I think the biggest setbacks or the things that slowed us down were honestly, the biggest one was me, which sounds kind of funny. The biggest one was me for sure. And just kind of piggybacking on our previous combo there was me not making the conscious decision to be a leader earlier. I think a lot of entrepreneurs inherently think that we are leaders. You know, we think, hey, I am a leader because I stepped out and I did this thing on my own. And while you probably are a leader among your peers at that time, your friends from college or whatever, what I quickly discovered was that I was not a leader to those directly around me. I was a practitioner and I happened to write the checks and make the decisions, but I wouldn't say that I was a leader. So, yeah, it wasn't until probably a year to year and a half ago that I made a conscious decision to be a leader. And that meant me stepping back, really casting vision, having a clear vision for the company that everyone could rally around, taking ownership of certain things that I was just kind of, well, this person kind of is in charge of that anyway, and I'm just going to have them do it. But if certain things would happen or they weren't going toward the vision, I wasn't taking ownership of that. That's, you know, leaders need to take ownership of, well, shoot, that's my fault for not casting the vision. That's why we didn't go in the right direction.
Right.
And then about 6 months ago, I hired on a leadership coach. So he comes in here every single Tuesday, not cheap at all. And that's been a massive, massive thing for me in the company. So not becoming a leader earlier, conscious leader was a biggie. If I would have done that years, if I would have done that way back when, we'd be faster growing and better company, all around. Dude, the next thing as far as a setback, yeah, same thing. We've been so fortunate so far. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure something else specific will pop up in my brain, but I think in general, dude, we've been so fortunate.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. So just sort of your own junk, kind of like that you brought along with you, is what you feel was the main setback then.
Yeah, in all of the wake that causes, you know, it goes every which way direction. I mean, if you as a leader are unorganized and stuff like that, which I'm not the most organized person, and you don't get highly organized people around you earlier and lead them, then the whole company is going to be unorganized. And there were just like a whole lot of these things that happened at the beginning. But I think some of that, dude, it happens in a startup, right? Right. So, I think if you think that the startup's going to be perfect from day one, you're really, really fooling yourself. And anyway, it's a fun journey.
I think that, like, you showed that chart with the up and down, is this left to right up and down chart. I think that really showed, just the journey of entrepreneurship isn't this straight line up, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can't go into it with that expectation,
yeah,
right? Or you're going to quit. You have to go in with this expectation that, look, there's going to be times where I just don't even want to do this anymore, you know, and where you're so discouraged, you want to give up. And the people, and you talked about this too, which this was really powerful. The people who don't give up are the people who succeed. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of times that's the only difference.
Yeah.
Is that, they didn't give up.
And dude, that's so big. At the top of our stairs in our office, I think in that presentation, we'll find some way to maybe put some of the slides or some of the pictures in the show notes of this episode. Just go to carrotcast.com, carrotcast.com, find this episode with Mike, and then we'll put the pictures of the stuff or slides in the show notes. But at the top of our stairs in the offices, we have this ginormous canvas that I had made. And we're always trying to set the mental tone of all of us. You know, I honestly do it for myself, because I know that I need these trigger points everywhere around me to remind me of certain things. And that one says, never give up. Like in these ginormous words right at the top of the stairs, you cannot enter the loft without seeing that thing straight in your face. And it says, never give up, just because the time, I'm going to butcher it, but something like never give up just because the time it will take to succeed or something like that. And yeah, that graph you mentioned, man, I found it online. I think it's something about the day in the life of an entrepreneur. And a lot of people have seen it. It kind of went viral, but where it's like you said, it's just up and down. In the morning, it starts off like with an up. It's like, man, you know, I'm ready to tackle the day. And then you have this setback. It's like, and then this other thing. Yeah. And that's I wouldn't say that I'm manic in that way, where my days are that way. I think in general, over the course of a year, it definitely is like that. Yesterday, and this is just being real, man, yesterday probably was a day like that, where and that's not too often in my world. Yesterday was a day like that where I had gotten way too scheduled out yesterday. I mean, like every minute of my day was spoken for. And if I went over on any of them, I was like shot in the foot, and I have these projects and this and that. And it just kind of was one of those days that it caught up with me, you know, And I'm like, damn. And the first half of the day, and I don't really get stressed out much. The first half of the day, I was decently stressed out. And then I released it. And this is a good lesson for me and for everyone. I talk about unique ability a lot. And you know, when you're working within your unique ability, when you have more energy after you're done doing those things than when you started. And I had interviews with new team members. So we interviewed 3 people yesterday, and I interviewed 4 more people on Friday. Dude, I got done with those interviews and I was like fired up. And
this is awesome.
Yeah. It's like all of the crap from the rest of the day that had, like, I was in a bad mood and I had to apologize to my team members. I'm like, I'm sorry. I was not in the best mood yesterday. And that's all on me. I take ownership of it. But I got really energized at the end of the day with these interviews. So it's just a really good reminder to make sure that we find that unique ability and fit those things every single day into our life, because they are what charge us in our work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such like a, that can be such a hard thing to do too, I think. Like, mm-hmm. not just finding what it is, but like once you know what it is, because I know for myself, I know I'm similar to you in a lot of ways, Trevor, in terms of like the interviews and the talking to people, like that sort of stuff is, I love that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that just gets me going. But what's interesting is like how, and you're probably better at this than I am, but how often I don't find the time for those things in a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. and I know that if I do them, I'm going to feel better and be happier. But for some reason, I a lot of times don't do them, and mm-hmm. I don't, you know, or I think, you know, I kind of live in the urgency realm where everything's yeah. urgent, and I just do what's urgent, you know, sometimes, and I think that can be really damaging to people. So that's really interesting yep. that you say that.
And on the urgency thing, man. So we've talked about this on a few episodes of the CarrotCast. If you're watching the video version of this, I'm showing this little daily productivity sheet here. You guys can download that. We've talked about it a few times at oncarrot.com/productivity, oncarrot.com/productivity, or in the show notes here, we'll put it. But with this, man, at the bottom of this sheet, it right there, I haven't filled it out yet today, but it has lists of things to do, high importance, low urgency. So those are things that you should be doing. And then over here are low importance, high urgency. And those are things we should be mm-hmm. delegating. So the very first thing in the day should be kind of going through that framework and that list. And there's always these things we've got to get down, but we need to make sure we're working on the important stuff, and the stuff that's not important but urgent, find a way to delegate it, outsource it as yeah. you can. Because I understand not everyone's in a spot where you can delegate everything right now. But we all started in a spot. I started with just me and then one person, now 10 and soon to be 15. And so, but we've got to really keep conscious of that. Dude, the second thing kind of on what you were talking about there with not finding the time in the day. And this is something that I've learned over the years, because I didn't either 4 or 5 years ago. The reason for me why I did not find the time in the day oftentimes for the things that charged me up, that I was really good at, that were my unique abilities but charged me up, it's because mentally I couldn't figure out how I could make money with them. Because, you know, to me, the stuff that made me money was the stuff that I was good at, you know, good at marketing yeah. implementation, writing emails,
yeah.
Good at writing articles, good at doing SEO, the practitioner work of it, good at doing all that stuff. It made me money. When I did that, it made me money, but it dragged my energy down. But I love doing interviews like this. I love working with our team. I love strategy. I really don't like the implementation of it. It just drags me down.
Yeah.
I love finding people and amplifying them. But at that time, I'm like, how am I going to make money doing that stuff? Yeah, I can't just do a bunch of interviews and like, how am I going to make money doing that? And, you know, it's like, I just do a bunch of videos. I mean, the articles are what's working for us, getting SEO rankings. And, well, someone's got to implement the marketing. So if that drags me down and no one on the team is here to do it, how am I going to have more time to do what I love to do? And right. that was just being intentional, going, okay. Whipping out a piece of paper, and I've talked about this in some episodes, whipping out a piece of paper. I use this exercise all the time. Put a vertical line down the middle. On the right side, it's the things that drag me down and I don't like about my work. And the left side, it's, you know, things that I love about my work and that I'm great at. And,
yeah.
Or you can, it doesn't matter which side, just draw a damn line in the middle and then split them out. And then the stuff that's on the side that drags you down, you're not that good at, you're not world-class at, or you couldn't be, or you don't want to be, those are the things you need to start shuttling off to someone else as soon as you can. And that's when I hired Alex. So 2 years ago, I'm like, man, all this marketing implementation stuff, it has to get done to make money. I can't just go and start doing interviews all day.
Right.
This has to get done to make money. So if I can find this person who can implement, who's a high follow through, who can follow through and finish stuff, they can do this stuff and make sure we get it done. I can still do strategy. Now it's going to free me up to do more of this other stuff. And you just kind of like one by one start tackling that stuff. So when Brendan came aboard, it's like, I'm doing way too much of this content marketing structure stuff. It drags me down. I'm not good at it. I was a bottleneck. I need to find a person to plug in here who's a high follow through, who enjoys this stuff, so I can pull back and do the stuff I enjoy. So it's not like a light switch. It's stair-stepping, being very intentional, finding the things you're not good at that are dragging you down and are dragging the company down, and plugging people in one at a time. And then you just slowly changing your time from 10% or 20% of you doing within your unique ability to 40 to 50 to 70.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to get over 90, but I think, right. I think everyone could get to 70 to 80% of your time working within your unique ability.
Yeah. And I think what you just said right there is also super important, that like, yes, you want to spend as much time as possible doing what it is that you love and what it is that recharges you. But it's not always going to be just easy stuff, and there's going to you're going to still have to do stuff that stinks,
yep.
right?
Like yep.
there's always going to be that stuff that that you don't want to do, but you just have to get done. And that's just part of the struggle of entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. is you have to deal with it.
It's,
you know?
It's life, man. It's not even entrepreneurship. It's life. Like,
yeah.
I wish I didn't have to brush my teeth every day or take a shower. Like, I wish it was just done and it happened. You know,
yeah.
I wish I didn't have to pick up the house or pick up after the kids or myself or any of that stuff. I wish I didn't have to do any of that stuff, but it's just the crap work in life that you've got to do, or I consider, I don't like to do it. Some people love to do that stuff. So if you love to do it, brush your teeth all day long. But, you know, it's just, I would rather get to living the life instead of cleaning up around my mess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that you're right. It is totally life. That's just how it goes. There's always going to be stuff you don't want to do, but you mm-hmm. have to do. So you talk about this idea, and you've been kind of hitting on it too, but this idea of like having a purpose, having a mission, mm-hmm. and it seems like that sort of ties in with what you're saying now with find what you love to do, what recharges you, right? Because mm-hmm. that kind of ties into this idea of purpose. And so I was just curious, and that's also I don't know if you have the mission statement for Carrot nearby or anything. I think it'd be kind of interesting to share that if you do, but if not, yeah. That's cool. But the just like walk through for someone who – well, how do we want to do this? First, like, okay, maybe first tell us why purpose is so important to yeah. a business. And then how do you go about finding that for your yep. business? And then maybe thirdly, like, how do you choose? Because it seems like this idea of purpose needs to come before you actually start a business, right? Like mm-hmm. you need to know who you are before you figure out what you're going to do about it. And so like, how do you decide on a business type or model that is going to work within your purpose?
Dude, that's I totally get where you're coming from. So I'm going to answer that. And I think we should honestly do an entire episode on purpose, because that's something
that would be awesome. Is
so big, because you know, we can talk about marketing strategy and all this stuff all day long. But to me, if you don't have a purpose that a reason to get out of bed in the morning, none of that's going to matter. And I'll kind of start the answer with this story. So, two stories. So the first story is, I watched this documentary, and it was on Netflix or something like that. And I don't remember exactly what it was called, but it was called The Happiest People on Earth or whatever it is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And basically it was this study. It was a study where these people went all around the world to places where people were living a long, long time. They were over in Japan, like in the city where it's the highest average lifetime. And it was some absurd number. It was like 89 or 90 years old was the average time that these people lived. And then there was this island off of Italy that was very similar. And then there was this. And then they found these people who were 110 years old, 102 years old. And just like, they're going, how did you live so long? You know, and what led to that, and also what led to the happiness, and all of them had different answers, dude. Like one guy was in England and he was like 102 years old, and he had a job and he washed cars at a plumbing business. Like that's what he did, was wash their vehicles and for a job.
Yeah.
And he smoked like a chimney, and he didn't drink water. He gave up water 30 years ago and he only drinks beer. So like, and this is a guy who has been smoking since he could smoke, and been drinking beer and no water for 30 years, yet he's older than most people. So it like, wow. You ask him the question, he said, well, I have something to get out of bed for every day. You know, he loves running. So he ran his first marathon when he was like 80 or 90, and he ran a marathon on that, that documentary. And of course he stopped, like he's 90, he's not 100 and whatever years old. So he stopped like every 2 miles and had a smoke and a beer. It's like,
oh my gosh.
But he said, I had something to get out of the bed in the morning for. So he would do his exercises. He would enjoy life and he would wash cars. Like that was his version of it. You know, this other gal, she was an older gal here in the US somewhere. And she said, you know, it was all God, you know, it was like, it was by the grace of God. And I got up every day to serve God. And then this other person's like, I'm an atheist, but I, it happened for me because I got up every morning. I love writing. I love literature. And she wrote books. She wrote her first book when she was 70 or 80. And the thing that all of them had in common was they all had something that they very purposefully got them out of bed. No, none of them got out of bed and just kind of would meander through life. They all were excited about something. Okay. So that's one thing. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
So kind of me going back through my version of that, kind of similar, man, where you had a friend pass away. It was one of my brother's best friends, but I grew up with him, knew him insanely well. He passed away when he was 34 years old. He had 3 kids at the time. And this is just very timely because I'm 34 and I have 3 kids at the moment. And this was five or six years ago that this happened. I think it was 2011, maybe 2012, something like that. But he passed away, man. It was like a really sudden thing. So he was in his backyard, you know, on a Sunday. He had a good job. He's in his backyard just gardening, you know, and him and his wife were talking about retirement and what they'd be doing over, you know, 20, 30 years out. And little did he know he wasn't going to come home for dinner that night. You know, he didn't make it in the house. He had a brain aneurysm and just instantly gone. So for 1 second, you've got this lively person that's planning for their life for 20, 30 years. The next second they're gone. And it really puts things into perspective and you go, man, I'm not going to be here forever. You know, I really hope I'm here for a long, 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 long time, but I might not be here tomorrow. You know, I'm sitting here messing with all this crap in my brain that's holding me back from doing what I want to do. That's holding me back from enjoying life to the fullest. That's holding me back from being the best father, the best husband. I can be the best friend, the best son, the best brother. And I'm doing all this crap and Nick now no longer has any minutes to live. And from that moment on, you know, I kind of had almost like anytime I was wasting time, not living in my purpose, I was like, man, I'm wasting Nick's time. You know, that's kind of how I switched it in my brain. And it was just the weirdest thing. So for finding purpose, dude, for my whole entrepreneurial career, everyone always tells you need to find your purpose. There's entire home study courses on how to find your purpose, which because everyone wants to be purposeful. Everyone wants to know that they have a purpose here, that they're not just planted on this earth. And then there's no reason why they're here. And then poof, they're gone. You know, there's I think everyone wants purpose in their life. And we all beat ourselves up over finding this amazing purpose that you can put on the wall. And everyone's going to walk in and go, man, that's a pretty cool purpose.
You're a pretty good person.
That purpose is sweet, you know?
Yeah.
And I was pressuring myself for that. And I thought my purpose at the time was to create a million entrepreneurs and all this kind of stuff. Honestly, I mean, I really love entrepreneurship as the vehicle. I think also entrepreneurship is one of the most destructive forces to an individual if you do it wrong. And it might sound weird, but you know, entrepreneurship, if done wrong, can completely destroy a person. And for me, I was kind of in that phase where I had this business I'd built. You know, I had full control over it. I was making good income, but I was less happy than probably almost everyone around me. No one knew it. And it was just because of the crap in my brain that I had put so much pressure on myself to find this purpose. I'd put so much pressure on myself to build this amazing company. I put so much pressure on myself to build a business based on my passion, like everyone says, you know, cash in on your passion. I've heard that like a million times.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there going, man, I have all these passions. I love golf. I love, you know, mountain biking. I love this. I love that. I don't love real estate. I'm not passionate about real estate. Never have, never will be. I love real estate as a vehicle to help you do something, a vehicle for wealth building, things like that.
Yeah.
But I was like banging my head against the wall. How do I build a business based on my passion? And I just couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. And so that's the first thing, dude. You got to, first of all, recognize and realize that you do not have to build a business around your passion. Your business should fuel your passion though. And then those are completely distinctively different things.
Yeah.
So building a business around your passion could be, hey, you love gardening. You're going to go out there and garden all day long. But the thing is, as soon as you start to professionally do what your passion is, oftentimes you hear from people that they start to not love that passion as much as they did before, because now it's tied to a transaction. It's not tied to the love of the craft.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so passionate about building businesses that fuel your passion. So being really, really intentional about, okay, here's what I'm passionate about. I'm going to structure a business that will help me and our team members do X. And if it doesn't, I'm not going to do it. Like you just can't, you can't waver on it.
There's no compromise there.
No compromise. Yeah. The second thing, dude, is this is in 2012. I had way too much stuff going on, and it's really, really hard with all that clutter in your brain. It's really, really hard to let the big things come to you.
Yeah. When you have it almost becomes like an unhealthy sanctuary, right?
Exactly.
You just kind of stay in. Yeah.
Exactly. So you have all this small stuff cluttering up, letting the big things in, the important things in. And so in that time period, after Nick had passed, I'd kind of had that little mortality moment. I'm like, I've got to get real with myself. I sold my half of my previous company, which I had made myself into a role that I didn't enjoy. My business partner is amazing. I'm going to be seeing him next week. We still see each other, you know, two or three times a year. He lives across the country. He's amazing. It had nothing to do with him. Our customers were great. Had everything to do with the way that I had built my role in there around things that were not my unique ability. And I just needed a separation. So I sold my half of that company to get mental separation more than anything. I also divested from a couple investments to get mental separation. I was trying to clear the plate mentally. And then what I did was, I'm like, you know what? I gave myself permission. I was driving one day. I'm like, so this year, you know, I'm going to be tackling something this year, and I'm going to be really focusing on one big thing and focus on my passion and nail my purpose. I'm like, man, I don't even know what my purpose is. And I gave myself permission one day. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I have to find my purpose. Let me make my purpose this year, 2012. Let me make my purpose just to do the best that I can possibly do as a human being in everything. And I looked back and I'm like, so what was I not doing the best I could do? I wasn't being the best husband. I wasn't being as clean as I should be. I wasn't this, that. I wasn't being the best entrepreneur because I had way too many things going on. So I'm like, well, shoot, what if I could just focus on one business idea for a year? Just give me a year. I'm just going to focus on one business idea for a year. Let me see if we can get traction. You know, so that was mid 2012 through, you know, 2013, end of 2013 is when it ended up being about a year and a half. And then that's what sparked Carrot actually in the fall of 2013.
Yeah.
And we turned it into an official Carrot business in 2014.
Yeah.
So that was,
let me unpack that one thing. I think the like most practical thing you just mentioned right there that this really hits home for me is, this idea of like stopping trying to find your purpose and just trying to do everything as best you can. Like that is so practical to me. In fact, I've been implementing that in my own life recently, trying, you know, I literally looked at my drawer one day. I was like, that's not clean. I'm going to fix that. You said that in the speech at OIT as well. And that is so practical. I think for people listening too, is this idea that, like you don't, it's that whole, weird thing in life where you have to stop looking to find it. You know, you have to stop really thinking about what your purpose is in order to discover what it is. And I think that is like super practical for people. Something that they can take away and do is just do like this, you know, maybe the next month, even the next 3 months, next 6 months, just commit to doing everything that you do the best you possibly can. And don't think too much about like what it is you're doing. Oh, I don't like this. Maybe you do like it and you just haven't given your mind the chance to enjoy it, you know? So I just wanted to point that out because I think that's a super practical takeaway.
Dude, I love it. And kind of one thing that happened to me during that phase too, is I actually started to appreciate the finer craft of doing those little things right. Where before I would despise washing my dish, you know, after dinner. Because I grew up in a way to where, I mean, I love my mom to death, but she like did everything for us, you know,
right.
She'd do dinner. Then it was my dad just put his dish in the sink and it wasn't washed. So we all did. You know, it was me and two of my brothers. And so I kind of had grown up in that environment. My mom was just so loving and so caring, and she had taken care of the family. And I gave myself excuses as an adult that, well, that's just the way that I am. And so, you know, I should be allowed to have certain kind of messy things in my life because that's the way that I am, you know?
Right.
And this total BS, man. It's complete BS.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah.
And
right.
And so you mentioned there the dresser drawer thing. I've mentioned this in some other episodes before, but as soon as I decided that, I started finding myself during my days noticing when I was not doing the best I could. And you mentioned the dresser thing. I opened up my dresser drawer one day and I would usually clean it once a quarter because it would just get so insane to try to find my t-shirts. And then it'd be a mess pretty quickly, right? But then I opened it up one day. Yeah. I'm like, man, this isn't cool. Because if I have to look for 20 seconds to find a damn shirt, like imagine just this clutter that's happening. So I took everything out of there, got rid of half of my shirts, folded them up, printed shirts on the left, plain shirts on the right. Like one of these. This one came out of the right side of my drawer today, man. And and it's been like that ever since. So
And you mentioned that idea of like when you saw the drawer, you just thought, oh, that's not the best I can do. You know, and you look at
now.
The closet. Right. I'm going to fix that right now.
Fix
oh, closet's dirty. That's not the best I can do. You know, and dude, I love that because that applies to everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this the best I can do? Mm-hmm. You know? Like that is such a practical, awesome question to ask yourself.
And then what happened, man, it wasn't immediate, but over that course of that year, as I would do that, as I would put the dish on the counter and turn away and walk away and find myself two steps away, stopping and turning around and triggering, that's not the best I can do, taking that damn dish and putting it in the dishwasher. And I do the dishes now for the most part of the house. I was not a dish guy now. Like I've just started to work in these things. I still have issues I've got to take care of, my truck and certain other things. I haven't been able to lick those yet. But what happened was as I started to release and remove this clutter, the big stuff started to creep through and show through. And probably 3/4 of the way through that year, I got just really excited. This business idea had started to kind of, you know, take mold and we had started to kind of sell a couple things in Carrot before it was Carrot, before it was still this test idea. And I'm like, you know what, this is what I'm going to focus on. As soon as I decided to focus on one thing, focus on taking care of the little things, the big idea for Carrot and the big idea for everything that we're doing outside of Carrot, the loft and all that kind of stuff percolated at that time. It's like, man.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's so good. This like, cause I think that's so relatable too, that like, it's not just about learning to do things quality. I think that's a byproduct of this idea of like, I can do better, but also getting rid, like, man, those little things clutter your head, right? Mm-hmm. Like how many of us, when we go home and your house is dirty, have trouble just thinking about anything other than the fact that you probably should be cleaning, but you don't want to, right?
Totally.
Like, so that is so, that's just awesome.
Totally. And I'll kind of wrap this long ass question with this, but
okay.
So where my purpose came. So once again, that year, my purpose was to look back at the end of the year and without any, you know, with complete conviction, say, yes, I did the best I could do it at most everything that year. And I believe that I achieved that year. It was a really cool year. I didn't make hardly any money that year, but it was a really cool year.
Yeah.
And then my purpose didn't come until after we had started Carrot. Because, you know, it was like this byproduct of, okay, I was able to declutter. I was able to enjoy this finer things, get rid of a lot of the small clutter. And that builds up over time. So you're not going to get rid of it once. It's going to be gone. It's going to be a continual effort to go through and do that decluttering in your brain and in your life. We call it pumpkin planning because of the book, The Pumpkin Plan. It's what it's all about, man. It's like trimming off all the extra vines so you can focus on the one big pumpkin so it grows big.
Yeah.
Check out that blog post, guys and gals. It's the most shared. I think it's 300 or 400 or 500 shares on Facebook. That one, it's called How a Pumpkin Farmer Changed My Life. It's on our blog over at oncarrot.com/blog. We launched the business, man. And so that was still a byproduct of me doing the best I could do, focusing on one idea was the launch of the business. It wasn't until probably a year into the business that I then went, man, we're not building a business just for the sake of growing. Because if you're always looking at revenue, numbers never end. So you're never going to be happy when you're just chasing revenue.
Right.
So I had fulfilled focusing on one business. I had fulfilled starting something. I felt that we could build a great business that matched all those things. It was going to build a business that would help us live our passion, help fuel our passions. Okay. It wasn't my passion. this business, specifically real estate and software, is not my passion, but I absolutely love what we're doing with it. And I love the product and I love how we're serving our clients. But then it was probably a year in, like I said, where then I'm like, man, we've got to have a bigger goal for why we're doing this. It can't be just revenue and it can't be just customer numbers and it can't be just doses of awesomeness that we get. While those are awesome, it can't be that. And we started to ask the question, why? So why would we want to grow? Why do we want to get to this amount of revenue this year? Is it just because we want to grow? If that's the case, let's not grow. Let's just hang out and make the revenue we're making and cut our hours back. And enjoy life. We need to have a specific reason why we're growing revenue. Because when revenue grows, usually that means an extra commitment of some sort, an extra commitment of time, an extra commitment of mental energy, whatever. So at that time, I'm like, man, I'm really enjoying people. And I'm really enjoying the people that are around me. I'm really enjoying the people in the loft and bringing people in that I can amplify, that I can pour into. And that where my personal mission came out was to amplify leaders. Because I know when I can bring guys like you in where I can pour into you a little bit, you're going to amplify your effect by 10 or 100 times. And I think that's how I make my greatest difference in the world. This podcast is an example of that. Mm-hmm. We didn't start it to teach you how to write up a contract as a wholesaler. We started it because I want to talk about things I want to talk about that are hopefully going to amplify leaders to do better. And that led into our newest iteration of our mission here at Carrot, which we iterated it in January, because I think your mission does adjust as you go. And our newest mission is to add humanity back to business and help people regain the precious time in life that matters, or precious time in life for the things that matter. Has nothing to do with real estate, nothing to do with software, but everything to do with helping people aspire to greater things, aspire to run their businesses in a greater way, aspire to hold other companies after they work with Carrot at a higher regard because the experience they had with us is so amazing. And then the second thing is we want to make sure that we're helping you regain time as an entrepreneur, because that time is the most important thing that you have.
Yeah, that's good stuff, dude. That was a long question. that's just gold, man.
I get excited about stuff, man. And I kind of tend to go too long and stuff.
Yeah, I know, dude. Well, we're getting a little bit lengthy here, I think, right? So, maybe we should do like a part two to this idea of purpose, because that seems to be where this is going. And for listeners, it seems like the big takeaway, at least like this is just what I love, is this idea of like doing everything you do the best you can, you know? And I just love that. And like realizing that it's your goals in life shouldn't be about money, you know, they need to be bigger than that and deeper than that. They need to have a purpose and a goal that involves who you are, knowing who you are and following that. Right.
Yep, exactly. And I'll kind of put a little bow around some of those big ideas. So if you're banging your head against the wall to try to find your passion, stop. Or not your passion, your purpose, stop. Because you can make your purpose, like I said, for this next 12 months to do the best you can do, make that your purpose. If you're just struggling to find your purpose, when you do that, your purpose is going to find you. The next thing, take care of the small things. When you take care of the small things, the big things are going to fall into place a lot easier. And then the passion, don't pressure yourself to have to build a business around your passion. If you're not passionate about real estate, don't go around telling people, I'm so passionate about real estate. I don't really know hardly anyone who's passionate about real estate. And if I'd like to meet the person, in my brain, I can't formulate why someone would be passionate about an inanimate object like that. But I think you can be passionate about the effect that you're having while leveraging real estate as the vehicle, which is what we're doing here. You know, it's like, build a business that fuels your passion. Find the vehicle that's going to best help you do that. If it's real estate, amazing. Do that. And there's a couple of tidbits in here that you put in these notes. I think they'd be good little things just to add in here. But you put in here during some of those setbacks, during some of those times and things just aren't going right, you know, how do you keep a positive attitude? You know, what kind of mentality do you need to have while you kind of have, you're going through these storms? And for me, a couple quick things. For me, you've got to surround yourself with an environment that has triggers that puts you in that. Right behind me, dude. So this canvas, everyone on our team at Christmas time with some other stuff got a canvas with a quote that they sent us, a quote in November. The quote that they said was speaking the most to them in their life at that moment. And so we took them and made them canvases, and everyone has those in their office spaces now. So mine is Action Expresses Priorities, because last year I was doing a lot of things that were not necessarily what my brain was saying was my highest priority. And so this year I want to really focus on making sure that my priorities in life are the things that actually are in my calendar. They're the things I actually are doing instead of the things I'm saying are priority and not doing. So that's integrity is what that is. The next thing after you're surrounding yourself with a great environment is you've got to surround yourself with great people, and you've got to. If you have people who are negative and bringing you down, you've got to limit the time with those people, even if it's your spouse. Like, I know that sounds weird, but if your spouse is bringing you down all the time, you've got to have like serious conversations with them and say, hey, you know, I would really love us to have an amazing, empowering conversation. What can I do to help pour into you to get rid of some of that negativity? Cause it's not serving anyone. And then start to surround both of you guys with things that give positivity. If there's TV shows that are making you guys negative, watching all the murder mysteries and stuff, watch some of those if you like doing that, but also fit in some amazing documentaries that lift you up. There's one I just discovered yesterday from one of our team members here, or not team members, one of the guys renting here in the office, which is a great example of surrounding yourself with a great environment. Brian came in here at 5 o'clock last night. He works in a different company, but he works here. I purposefully collect people in the loft who are empowering, who are great people. And he came in and was like, man, watch this documentary series yesterday. Amazing. He explained it to me. It's called The Kindness Diaries, and you guys can find it on Netflix. It's amazing, man. Like, you can't watch one of those episodes and not be empowered about humanity and just do it. So switch some of your patterns from things that are disempowering you and putting you in a negative mindset to things that fully empower you and see the greatness of humanity around you. And, man, it's those things alone are just biggies. I could keep on going on and on.
Yeah.
Little things, dude, quote books. I surround myself with these. I have hundreds of these things in my office, and I'll open them up and I'll look at a quote and read it. If I'm thinking about someone, gratitude is the biggest tool that you can use for getting yourself in a positive mindset again. If I'm thinking about someone I'm grateful for, man, oftentimes I'll whip out a quote book. I'll find a quote that in my mind explains them to me, or, you know, relates to them. I'll write a note, circle it. I'll send it to them in the mail or pop it in their desk. Or I'll write a thank you note. We've got one of our core values is gratitude, and we've got these things that we gave to our team members. It's a big old box of thank you cards. It's for a year. You send out one a week, and the cool thing is, I got one this week from one of our team members, from Alex, just thanking me for, you know, just showing his gratitude for things that I'm doing for the company. So, man, if you do those things, you're going to have a rock solid mindset, and you're going to be able to lift out of those valleys a lot quicker.
That's cool. We could do a whole nother one on gratitude too.
Totally
could. Yeah. That is awesome. Do you want to kind of wrap it up here, or do you want me to hit you with like one more, or what do you think here?
If you've got a burning question, man, hit me with it. I mean, people can always hit stop or bail from the podcast, but if they're
enjoying
this.
Watch the rest later. Right. Yeah. Okay. So let me, I wrote too many questions down in here, evidently.
No, you're good.
Okay. This might be like it's sort of general, and I think you've covered this already a little bit, but I think that it's a good one to finish on is for the aspiring entrepreneur, with this idea of like setbacks, what if you could give them – you know, one piece of advice, what would that be? You know, the person who hasn't yet become an entrepreneur, but has that sort of mindset and really knows that that's probably where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. What's like the biggest piece of advice you could give them? And maybe it's just reiterating something we've already said. But what is that they need to know going into it?
Yep. Two things, man. So two things. One of them, and these are both cliche, you've heard them before, but they're so, so true. And dude, I heard this quote that if you run across something that's cliche, it probably means that it's a true statement.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And
yeah.
So now, like, I don't look at cliches as, oh, it's just this corny kind of whatever. It's like, if it's cliche, it's probably true. So pay attention to it. So basically the two things are this, kind of going back to that don't quit thing, like, honestly, just don't quit. Right. So there's a certain time in whatever that you should probably, you know, hang up the gloves and go, well, this didn't work. Right. And I'm not saying to keep on going with something that is absolutely not going to work. But what I am saying is have the mentality that it's a matter of when, not if. And I know when I was just getting started as an entrepreneur, and I would always have that question, it's like, man, when is this going to, like, or is this even going to work? You know, did I choose to do the right thing? Should I have got a job? Man, is this going to work? What if this doesn't work? That kind of thing. And it's about 8 months through, I'm like, you know what? That's just BS. Cause I'm already defeating myself. If I'm saying, I wonder if this doesn't work. The two things I had to do to prove that this could work is, are there other people that are already doing this successfully? And the answer clearly was yes. Like, well, of course there's, So I know it's not impossible. So the only question is, can I figure it out? And will I stick with it long enough to make it happen? That was the only question. Like, it wasn't, this will not work. So whenever we'll get people going, you know, it's SEO or pay-per-click doesn't work for me. I'm like, nah, you didn't make it work. So it wasn't an issue with SEO or pay-per-click. It was an issue with you not figuring it out or getting the resources to do so and quitting too early. So that's on you, not on us. And, and so that's the first thing. Adopt the mentality of, it's only a matter of when this is going to happen, not if. Because then you're always going to push through. You're going to have a setback and go, okay, now I learned another thing not to do. And I will go through and I'm going to keep on piling up in my brain all these things I shouldn't do next time. So then next time I want to start another thing, I'm going to be able to motor through these things a lot quicker. So don't get discouraged, because every single one of those little failures or setbacks is something ideally you don't do again. And you're just going to accelerate that for the next time. The next thing after that on the setbacks is kind of like I was saying, just make sure that you have that, make sure that you have something that you are, centering yourself with, that you can appreciate the journey that you're in versus comparing yourself against the ideal self, right? And anytime that we compare ourselves against something else that is not us at that time, it's always a losing proposition, right? So let's say that you're married and you're mentally or subconsciously comparing yourself or comparing your spouse against someone else out there, losing proposition, unless your spouse is always the one who wins out, right? it's a losing proposition if you compare yourself in your brain about, man, here's where I want to get in my life, but I'm not there yet. Like, you're beating yourself up. And the thing is, that your ideal self is like a horizon. As you get closer to the horizon on a ship, the horizon moves out. You can never reach the horizon. You never can. But if instead you're not chasing after the horizon, you're not chasing after this ideal self. And we've always got to be looking at the horizon. We've got to know it's there. But we've also got to recognize that it changes and you'll never ever reach it, because it always changes. So we can't base our happiness on something we can never reach. But what we can do is we can instead go, you know what? There's milestones that I can actually do to succeed and celebrate. So if I'm in a boat, horizon's where we're going. Sweet. Recognize it's going to change. That doesn't affect your happiness at all. But now we have different waypoints. We've got islands. So let's travel to this island. I can hit that island. I can jump off that island. I can actually get there. I can jump off and celebrate it. And then I can go look back and go, man, look how far we came. You know, I'm really grateful for the distance we came. We made some ground. It wasn't easy, but we made some ground. Now let's get back in that boat. We're going to hit the next island now and hit that next island, hop off, celebrate it, look back and go, man, look at the distance we came. Let's be grateful for it. So that to me is a biggie as a new entrepreneur, is got to adopt that mindset. You cannot be comparing yourself against other people or your ideal self, because you'll never reach it. And even if you compare yourself against someone else, dude, let's say you reach what they are. As soon as you reach what they are, you're already going to have shifted your brain to someone else who's higher.
And the horizon is somewhere else now,
It doesn't make sense, but we all do it. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle. I still have it too. But the more that I recognize and set waypoints and celebrate those and turn around and look back and be grateful, the journey truly is, once again, cliche, the journey truly is the part that matters, not the destination.
Yeah, it's about the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that, I mean, and those tie in perfectly with that don't give up idea, you know, which is really powerful. Well, that's awesome, dude. Those are really good. Like, totally cliche, but but like so true though, you know. And I mean, and I love the way you say them because you put them in a little bit different light. So I think it'll resonate. I know it resonates with me. I'm sure it'll resonate with other people too. But yeah, that is awesome. I appreciate you taking some time to answer my questions.
Dude, and I appreciate your time hopping on here. And yeah, it's funny, as we were talking about doing a podcast, a couple of the other team members popped through and like, I want to do a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's something I've talked about with other guys. And like Alex is like, I'm ready to do a podcast. I'm like, dude, come up with some talking points, man. So we're going to do more of these. Like, so we're going to do more of these. One of our missions this year here at Carrot, one of our core focuses is to come out from behind the scenes a little bit and teach you guys what we're doing in our businesses. So that means yanking some of our team members out from behind the scenes and let's get you up there and talking. And I don't think this will be the last time that you're on a podcast, man, with us. I can see, you know, in the future, you hopping on and teaching some of the craft, you know, once you really get really good at certain things.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you, you coming on and firing some good questions my way.
Definitely, man. No, this was fun. And I'm excited to do it again.
Awesome, dude. Well, Mike, thanks, buddy. And everyone, appreciate your time listening to this. If this resonated with you, if one part of this resonated with you, please, please, please go away and do that. Don't miss this opportunity to implement this in your life today, because as another cliche, as they say, tomorrow never comes because there's always another tomorrow, right? So implement something today, trigger something new in your brain, in your life to make something big happen for you today. And I want you to look back in a year and go, man, that moment that I chose to make a decision to change this thing completely changed the course of my life. And this call can do that for you if it's the right timing for you and if you let it. So I appreciate your time. Mike, appreciate your time, man. Everyone check out the other episodes of the Carrot Cast at carrotcast.com. And please give us a rating on iTunes. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with other people who you think can benefit from this message, and give us a rating on iTunes. Until next time, thank you.